Well, hello there. Welcome along. It's another RTE Soccer podcast. There are lots of podcasts out there. Loads of them. Absolutely loads of them. But only one of them features James O'Toole. Do you like that, James? I was thinking about that for a while. How will I pick him up today?
And the public very lucky with that.
So you have to bring something. Yeah, you have to bring something special now to the podcast because of the big intro I gave you. How are you keeping?
Anger. Grand, Adrian. Absolutely fine. Can't complain, can we, in fairness? We're still doing this after several months of being locked down still.
Yeah, it's great to have football, and there's plenty to talk about. We'll be doing so in the company of Paul Curry, and also joined by the Tubbercurry Tornado, Rafael Critaro. But before we dig into all the weekend action, and we'll be touching, of course, later on the Women's Internationals, those friendlies against Denmark and against Belgium. But let's round up the weekend action in the Premier Division. Let's start at Oriel Park. A first-half penalty from Georgie Kelly was enough to give Bohemians all 3 points as they defeated Dundalk 1-0. Georgie Kelly, as I mentioned, with the penalty against his old club. Coming up, we'll hear from an exasperated Dundalk manager Shane Keegan, but first the Bohemians manager Keith Long.
Well, it's a hard fought win. We rode our luck a little bit, got ahead in the game, steadied ahead in the game, some good defending, some last ditch challenges as you expect up here in Oriel Park, and fourth game into the season we get our first win, so I think that's really important. Obviously the longer it goes, the more nervous you become, and you know, we haven't been, you know, firing on all cylinders in some of the performances so far, but there hasn't been a huge amount in the games, and you know, it's good to come here, particularly at Oriel Park, to Dundalk, such a strong side, to get a good win for us.
And your team, as you mentioned, they defended so solidly, particularly in the second half and in the closing stages. It was a very gritty performance in part.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had to, you know, they empty the bench, they bring on a lot of attacking players, and you know, they're a big side and we're the opposite. So we had to defend at set plays. We had to put our bodies on the line. You know, we made some changes ourselves, and the boys that came onto the game did well. And you know, we've got away with it. We probably a little bit on the counter attack could have hurt them once or twice more, with a little bit more quality, a little bit more composure. You know, but listen, we're really pleased to come away with a 1-0 win.
Extremely disappointing, Adrian. The performance just wasn't there. You know, you work all week on what you're trying to do, and the performance you're going to try and deliver on match night, and the week's work was very, very good, and the week's work would have filled you with confidence heading into tonight, and for one reason or another, and this is the golden question, the one that we have to find the answer to, it's just not transferring into the match night performance at the moment, and that's the problem we've got to solve.
And do you think it can solve it?
Yep, absolutely. Again, there's not one thing that's going to solve it. There's not one missing piece. It's a lot of things. We've spoken about quite a few of them. Look, it's I don't know how long since the final whistle, before I got out here in front of you, because we're all in the dressing room talking about those things, the things that need to be fixed. And as I say, it's not one thing. It's 3, 4, 5 things. And collectively as a group, players, staff, the whole lot of us, we've got to get to work on those things, because it ain't getting any easier with next week's fixture either.
Yeah, players and yourself and Filippo in the dressing room for quite some time. Were there a lot of things said?
Yeah, naturally enough, I think there would have to be.
Angry?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I don't think you can have the points tally we have after four games, and to be honest with you, if there wasn't anger in there, that's when you'd really, really, really be worried. So there was a lot of talk in there, but I think that's a good sign.
That's Shane Keegan. We'll get the views of both Raf and Paul Curry and, of course, James on the situation at Dundalk very shortly. But let's move on to the showgrounds on Saturday night. Sligo Rovers 1, Shamrock Rovers 1. Walter Figueira gave Sligo the lead in the 82nd minute. A rare error from Hoops keeper Alan Manis. Rory Gaffney's deflected shot earned the Hoops a draw. Both bosses, Stephen Bradley, the Shamrock Rovers manager, shortly. But first, the Sligo supremo, Liam Buckley.
It's probably a fair result over the 90 minutes. If anybody was going to win, I thought we marginally done better. But they're a top team, and you know, it's a reasonable performance for us this evening.
Were you disappointed not to cling on for all three?
You do be. You listen, with 5 to 10 minutes to go, you're 1-0 up. You know, you just need to see it out as best we can. But inevitably, we drop back. And as I was saying to the boys after the game, we've got to learn to stay on the front foot and see it out. But you won't see it out if you drop back into your penalty box. So we need to make sure we learn from that.
Did you take encouragement from the performance overall, though? Obviously, they're coming here on the back of a long unbeaten run.
I took plenty of encouragement from the first few games we played. I thought we'd done all right against Dundalk here. We've had two great results away from home. I think the performance might be better. Yeah, I want them to tend to be better, but when I look at the amount of points that we have, and we're unbeaten now in four, we have another tough game with Finn Harris next week. But we have to turn up like we did tonight, and like we did on the Waterford, and like we did against Dundalk and whatever. And please God, we can get a result, because I do see us getting better.
Happy with the points, Stephen?
Not really, no. I felt we created enough chances to win two games, really. Even after we scored, we missed two from 6 yards out, and it's very unlike us, you know. I thought we played well, we controlled the game for large parts of it, and like I said, we created enough chances to win two games tonight.
In terms of the resolve, though, that you showed to come back from the concession of that goal, you must be pleased.
Yeah, but that's never in doubt with this team. I think we've done that for a couple of years now. And I think it also shows the mindset and where we were in the game at that stage. We were in control. It wasn't as if we were under the cosh and we were struggling and it knocked us. We were in the ascendancy and we were in full control, really, at that point. Alan makes a mistake. He very, very rare that he does. But like I said, it showed the mindset at that point in the game. We were in control and it didn't knock us. We went again and scored and should have won the game.
St. Pat's top of the table with 10 points from 12 on top of the table, mind you, on goal difference. They were 2-0 winners over Derry City on Friday evening. Derry lost Danny Lopano after half an hour to a red card. Goals from Robbie Benson and the teenager Dara Burns for the Saints. Declan Devine, the Derry manager, not too happy. We'll hear his views very shortly. But a very good win for Stevie O'Donnell and all involved with St. Pat's, including manager Alan Matthews.
That's our fourth game. It's a great place to be in. But I mean, if we had four games to go and we're in this position, yeah, you'd be chatting about things. But it's a good start, and that's all there is. There's a long, long way to go. We're just trying to improve on where we were last year. We've got good players who are prepared to work very, very hard. So all we want to try and do is week in, week out, give a good performance and get 3 points and see where it takes us.
Listen, we've played three games. We've caused our own problems in the three games. So I take responsibility for that because my players have made the mistakes. That's my fault. I have to accept that. We're a young group, but we can't be as naive as what we are at the minute and expect to win football matches. We've got to learn from this very quickly. As I've said previously, we have a lot of good footballers here at the club, but we've got to nullify the mistakes. This league is a league where you've got to become hard to beat. The best teams in this league have always been hard to beat. At the moment, we're beating ourselves as opposed to our opponents beating us.
Declan Devine, Wilfin Harps also on 10 points like St. Pat's at the summit of affairs. A goal from David Webster in the 93rd minute saw them come from behind to beat Waterford 2-1 at Finn Park. Both managers, Kevin Sheedy, very soon. But first of all, the Finn Harps manager, Ollie Horgan.
Probably the only way we're going to win it. To be fair to Waterford, that's two games of last in the 90th minute. So, you know, they probably really looked at it and fallen them today, and you know they probably deserved the point for the way they played. They went 1-0 up, they had a great chance to go 2-1 up with Darren Murphy's header late in the second half. And look, when you're up there, you're up, and as we know from before, when you're down there, you're down. And you know, it's great to see the flip side of it, albeit maybe temporarily.
How did you view the whole kind of ebb and flow of the game? You started really well but then fell behind. Good response though, and another goal from Adam Foley.
Yeah, we got done with a set piece, to be fair. John Martin, who was a habit of scoring against us, he did very well. It was a great header, and he's deceptively good in the air and a smashing player on top of it. They scored maybe slightly against the run of play, but to be fair to them, you know, they kept the ball well. They got a number of set pieces and corner kicks, and that chance that fell to Darren Murphy's header, you know, head is the last person in the world you want that to fall to. And had that gone in, it could be, you know, completely different story. I think the draw would have been a fair result, but we won't be complaining tonight, like, you know.
Yeah, going in at 1-1, where did you feel at half time that you could go on and win that game?
We knew it would go to the wire. This could have gone anywhere. We could have lost. We played four games, so we could have lost all four. You know, we could have won all four, to put it that way to you. And, you know, there's nothing in it at the moment. I do think it'll even out with the midweek games, especially the week after next, and that'll take its toll on us and others that maybe, you know, usually are down at that end of the table. But look, we move on. We were playing a massive game in Sligo next Saturday, and that's where we're at the moment. That game is gone, and we move on very quickly. Win, lose or draw, it isn't any of the games.
Kevin, how difficult a one was that to take?
Yeah, real bitter pill to swallow, that one. You know, second half, I thought we were the better team, and if anyone was going to get a winner, it was going to be us. We had a couple of half chances, which we didn't take. And then, obviously, to concede with more or less the last kick of the game, the players defended stoutly, and we didn't deserve that. But sometimes, you know, you don't get what you deserve in football. Finn Harps are on a roll at the moment, and things are going for them, and that's what happens. So we'll dust ourselves down, take a lot of positives from the game, but as I say, desperately disappointed for the players.
Kevin Sheedy, Des Curran posing the questions. Mark Doyle scored twice as Drogheda United beat Longford Town 4-0 at Bishop's Gate in the big meeting of the two promoted sides. Tim Clancy of Drogheda on the way. But firstly, Longford manager Darragh Doyle.
In games at this level, if you're not quite at it, if you make a couple of mistakes and let the opposition have the opportunity to exploit you, you will be punished. And that's something that happens in this league when you're not at it. And although in the first half it was close, and at half time they've probably gone ahead, and it could be said it was quite even in the first half. We had a number of chances ourselves. Rob Manley had one or two, which he probably snatched at a little bit. We had a couple of shots through Dylan Grimes and a couple of balls that were flying in and thereabouts, and they've gone in ahead the right side of the result at 1-0. In the second half, we wanted a reaction from the lads, which we've had in previous games. And in fact, you know, we wanted to be better, but they actually picked us off at times, and you've got to give them credit for that. They were very good in the second half, and they punished us for one or two mistakes on our side and not being quite at it, and that will happen at this level.
Tim, this has been a really tight league so far this season. So are you surprised by how much you won this game by?
Yeah, listen, we're going to be on the receiving end of scorelines like that as well this season. We know that. Listen, we took our chances today. Doyler's got a couple of goals, and Big Yui, we finally scored from a set piece, but Ronan Murray's delivery has been excellent, and Chrissy got a good goal as well. But listen, there's going to be times in this league where we'll be on the wrong end of scorelines like that, but listen, we'll take it when it comes our way.
It was a very tight first half, but were you impressed with your side, the way they just took over in the second?
Yeah, again, listen, when you look at both squads, both very fit, good footballing teams. Maybe the little bit of experience that we had might have managed the game a little bit more. And again, just scoring in critical times helped us. And then the experience probably got us through the game. But as you said there, every game in the league is going to be very, very tight. Two draws in the other two games today shows you exactly what the league's about. So anytime we can get a win, it's very important. And again, I think it was probably just a little bit of experience that we had. And the fitness levels that we have as well are extremely good for our part-time team.
That's Tim Clancy. So the table, St. Pat's and Finn Harps both on 10 points, Sligo Rovers on 8, Drogheda in 4th on 7, Shamrock Rovers on 5 points. They've only played 3 games. They, of course, have to go to Derry on Tuesday night. Bohemians on 4 after their first win of the season at Oriel Park. Longford on 4 points after that heavy trouncing at the weekend. Waterford on 3, Dundalk on 1, and Derry City without a point so far after 3 games. But Dundalk, Paul Carey, having played 4 games, 1 point. Everybody at the moment is looking at the setup at Oriel Park. What do you make of what's going on there?
It's not great, Adrian. It's not great both on and off the pitch. And I know they qualified for the Europa League last year, but if you actually look at their league form, they've carried in off the back of last year into this season, and it's really, really not good. And if you look at the games, I was just looking back at the number of games Filippo Giovagnoli's been in charge. It's 10 games, and over those 10 games there's only 3 wins, and that for me is just not good enough. It was a huge gamble when they brought him in, and I thought when he came in initially he got a reaction out of the players, and that's what they were looking for, and it sparked them into life a bit. They got extremely lucky with the Europa League draw, let's make no bones about that. But as a gamble, it's paid off. You know, financially they would have won massively last year, but I think longer term I just don't see it being the right fit for the club. When you're watching games, I always say your eyes don't lie, and the performances just aren't there. I don't see any signs of that changing around over the next couple of weeks. It might do, but I don't see it being sustainable going forward. And if you're asking me, I personally think they need to change it, because it was a massive gamble when they brought him in. Yes, they got quick success, but it's not going to be something I see as a fit going forward. And when you look at the other sides within the league, they've started quite slowly, but if they were to pick up, you're looking at big gaps between themselves and Dundalk. So worrying times both on and off the pitch. It's not great to see, because they've been such a leading light within the league over the last number of years. And they certainly have the personnel and they have the players in there to change it around, but I just don't see any sign of that based on their first four league games.
Yeah, Ralph, what have you made of Dundalk's start? As I mentioned there, just the 1 point on the board, beaten by Bowes on Friday night. They've got so much in terms of quality and depth of squad there. It's remarkable. And yet, they're really labouring on the field. What have you made of it?
Yeah, it's look, they're going through a difficult period now at the minute, obviously. Probably a transitional period at the club at the minute. Like you said, 7 years of success at the club and a season now where they've only got 1 point on the board after four games. So, yeah, everybody's going to be keeping an eye on it. Big one coming up again against St. Pat's the weekend. No easy task. Pat's seem to be flying. So I think all eyes will be on that one the weekend.
James, what's your read of the situation at Oriel?
It's an absolute farce is my read of the situation, I have to say. I pity Shane Keegan because Shane's a good lad. He's really passionate about what he does, but I fear for him being the one that's been hung out here as the person who has to come out in front of the cameras every week to tell us what's happening. For Shane's own personal point of view, if I were him, I'd be walking away quicker than anybody. It doesn't seem good on the pitch. They were unfortunate last week with Brian Gartland having his ACL tear. So that puts him back a really, really experienced defender. But it just, even the other day, Adrian, you were there. It took them over an hour to come out and do an interview the other night, which just shows you there's something wrong in that setup. And it, the quicker they change it, the better for themselves.
Yeah, but well, they're quite entitled, I suppose, James, to stay in as long as they want. Obviously, there was a very heavy inquest going on after losing at home to Bohemians. So that's perhaps understandable. And when you say that the manager, Shane Keegan, has been hung out to dry, why would you say that?
Yeah, but I think they need to be honest. They need to be honest that the committee is running this club at the minute. And Shane Keegan, I feel that Shane isn't... I could be wrong here, Aidan, but I feel the way it's been put out is that Shane isn't the person calling the shots. And because he has the badge, he's the one put forward. You can almost see... Like, we look back, we talk about Dundalk can't be this bad, but Cork City, we thought, couldn't fall as low as they did. And if they don't get a grip of it now, you could well end up in the same type of situation.
With relegation?
With relegation, with fans turning away from the club, with disinterest around the club, with the owners getting disinterested and seeing where they can go because it's not as fun as it was previous.
Paul, is the situation as bleak as James suggests it could be?
I certainly hope not, because like I mentioned previously, they've been, you know, the club and a group of players that we've looked to over the last number of years as being the leading light and the standard that we wanted other teams to get to. I feel a little for some of the players within the squad, Adrian, and the reason I do is because the expectation and the pressure has fallen on the same shoulders year in, year out, and I don't think the recruitment has been good enough. And I don't think they've brought personnel who are strong enough to step up and kind of bring the club forward. And you've always had to rely on the likes of your Hoobins, your Shields, your Duffies, your McMillans, your Boyles. And I don't think they've added well enough to the squad. And if you look at Shamrock Rovers and even some of the players that they've brought in, your likes of your Scales, your Gary O'Neills, your Jack Burns, Sean Kavanagh, Aaron McInniff, why were Dundalk not bringing these players into the club when they were so far ahead financially and in a really good position to build on what they had? I just can't get my head around that. And for that reason, I feel for the group of players who have done it year in, year out, and maybe feeling a bit of a pinch now because they're not able to raise themselves to those standards. Will they be in a position that Cork were in last year? I strongly doubt it. I still think there's enough quality in there that they'll win enough games. But we don't want to talk about Dundalk being a middle of the table type team. We want to see Dundalk pushing Rovers and pushing whoever else is to be up there. And I think it's a difficult situation, but something needs to change quickly.
Raf, we should take nothing away from Bohemians. They needed a win and they got a win, their first of the season. And again, for Keith Long, you know, there's a pretty big squad there at Bohemians, but of course a lot of new players as well. The likes of Liam Burt has come in. He's done pretty well. Ali Coote arriving from Waterford. But it was an important win for them because after going three games without a win, they needed something like that just to kickstart their season, didn't they?
Yeah, I think Keith Long will be happy with that. You know, I think they've not got the start that they thought they would have. You know, and obviously losing the first couple of games, and obviously going to Oriel and getting 3 points is a massive boost. You know, that'll give great confidence to the squad. Keith will keep them grounded. You know, he'll keep them at it. You know, there's great quality within the squad. Young Keith Ward, well, he's not young anymore, but the likes of Wardy and lads like that. So they'll be looking to them, you know, to try and help move things forward and get back to where they were last season.
Now, the big question, Raf, for you, 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, were your eyes firmly fixed on the showgrounds for Sligo Rovers, Shamrock Rovers, or were your eyes firmly fixed on Finn Park for Finn Harps and Waterford?
Well, Adrian, I'll tell you, I was actually in Finn Park, but I actually had my phone on me watching LOI with Paul Deering beside me, keeping an eye on the showground. So, I was up at the game. Fantastic game. You know, Herbs are flying. Great people up there. Fantastic club. But, you know, obviously keeping an eye on my local club and my childhood club, Rovers, hoping that they could get 3 points. And people were looking at me in the stand, myself and Paul Deering, when Sligo scored to go 1-0 up on the 84th minute. Only to be brought back down to earth when Shams scored again 2 minutes later. So, yeah, like Liam Buckley said, he'd be probably a bit disappointed to have went, you know, one up so late in the game and then, you know, getting a draw at the end. He probably would have felt, you know, they could have taken all 3 points. But at the end, I think overall, if a draw was a fair result.
Yeah, I'll come back to the showgrounds and the proceedings there in just a moment. But clearly, you enjoyed your time at Finn Park. And can I ask you, what's it like? Because people wonder about Ollie Horgan and the miracles he produces almost on an annual basis at this stage. What's it like playing for an Ollie Horgan team?
Look, what you see is what you get, you know. For me, a manager probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. Extremely hard working, not only himself and Hegsy and everybody else at the club, but he really is the real deal. You know, I'm not one bit surprised where they are this year. Obviously, the big thing for Herbs and your Sligo is being able to keep, you know, players at the club, you know, because geographically we're not in the best spot been here on the northwest. But you know, Ollie did fantastic keeping everybody, you know, there this year. He knew he had a great squad, and he wanted to build on that. And look, testament now, the run they're going on. But he'll keep them grounded. You know, I could imagine, and his message after last night's game is, you know, get as many points as we can with the run we're on. You know, because when you come out of that run, it's very, very hard to get back to that position again. So he'll try and keep them on it for as long as he can to avoid relegation, as he would say.
So when you say what you see is what you get, so when we see and hear Ollie after matches and he's playing it down and he says Dave Webster's winner, sure, when you're down near the bottom that could have easily have gone over the crossbar, when he goes into the dressing room afterwards, is that kind of the message, or is he saying, well done Webby, you fairly cracked that one home, lads, we're right, we're joint top with St. Pat's, you know, let's drive on and push for the title? No, he's talking about relegation.
He'll keep you grounded. You know, there'll be no one. You know, obviously, like you said, when you're up that end of the table, you get like little, you know, rub of the green. Like last night, Webby with his left foot putting it in the top corner. You know, and as he says, when you're down the other end of it, you don't get those decisions. You know, like you might have a late appeal for a penalty waved away that's as blatant as the day is long. But because you're down that end of the table, you don't get it, you know. But he'll have them firmly, you know, grounded, and he'll want to get as many points on the board with the run he's started off with. And you know, he's not from last season. We had obviously the first two games, you know, great results, breaking with COVID, and came back, and we didn't have a win till I think it was September, you know. So he'll be reminding them of that. That rack up as many points as you can and see where it takes you. You know, there'll be no talk of anything other than that.
And there's a lot of good players in the Harps setup. You mentioned there Hegsy, Paul Hegarty. Talk to me about his role at Finn Harps, Paul Hegarty, the legend.
Absolute gentleman. You know, Eggsy, unbelievable, you know. The two of them just rub off each other, himself and Ollie, you know, they're two great characters who, you know, will drive, you know, Eggsy will drive you on, as will Ollie, and, you know, will demand the very, very best of you. Like I said, what you see is what you get, and if you're not at it and you're not willing to do the work, you know, you'll be sitting on the bench beside them. So, you know, they'll quickly remind you of that, you know, that the work ethic has to be there. And, you know, but like you said, there's some great players with great quality in the squad. And I think the big thing was keeping them all together this year. And they did a great job in doing that, you know. And like I said, geographically, it's not the nicest place, you know. The Northwest is very, very hard to attract players, you know. So he'll hope that they can build on what's happening now. And hopefully, like I said, you never know what could happen. Maybe a European run, but Ollie won't like me saying too much about that.
It's not an accident, Raf, is it? Like, in fairness, if you watched a couple of games they've played really constructive football. They've moved through the phases. Even against Waterford last night, they go behind and they just relax into it, like, and keep on plugging away and plugging away. And like the equalising goal last night, I don't know, like, we used to do Thunderstrike, if you remember, years ago. I don't know how fast he hit that ball, but it seemed to come off his foot at a rate of knots that no keeper was actually going to save. Even if they put hands to it, they probably would have broke a hand. But it is Ollie and Eggsy have them just playing and playing and playing and playing. It's not hitting hope. So there's a lot of thought into what they're trying to get the team to play.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, one of the most hard-working, two most hard-working managers and assistant managers I've played under, you know. There's no just hitting hope at all. It's very constructive in terms of what the plan is. You know, and as you can see, they have a bit of a diamond in Adam Foley, who is full of confidence at the minute. Watching the game last night, I thought he had taken an extra touch that, you know, his chance might have gone, but by God, he hit the ball and it nearly took the net off, you know. Murphy, it was down the middle and just over his head, but it was that well struck, he couldn't even see it going by him, you know. And then you have Webby then, the 94th minute, hitting a winner with the left boot, who he'll probably say he meant it, but I know, and a few other lads know, that it's just ended up there by chance. But no, they'll be happy with that. And like I said, Ollie and them very constructive with what they want, and they'll want to play a little bit more, you know, and they'll know the days where they can play and the teams they can play against, where, you know, who they may have to skip midfield or something like that and play higher up the pitch.
Paul, just a word on Waterford. You get a sense, because, you know, there's a new management set up there with Kevin Sheedy going in. It has the feel, or certainly my sense of Waterford is they'll get results here and there, but it's going to be that kind of season where they'll win one, maybe lose a couple, and that they'd be hovering down in the lower part of the league. Is that how you would see it?
It kind of has that feel, Adrian. I don't think I'd ever be worried about them going down, because I think they've shown enough in their first few games that they'll be competitive, at least within different matches. And just looking at that Finn Harps game, like, that was a really gilt-edged chance for Daryl Murphy. And like Ollie Horgan said, if you'd wanted to fall to anybody in the box, it would have been Daryl Murphy, and you probably would have expected that he would have buried that in with his head, and it would have been another 3 points, and it'd be a different conversation that we've been having. So I think within the squad, they're going to have enough. And I think when they play the likes of your Longfords, your Derrys, and even your Finn Harps, they'll pick up enough points that they'll probably be hovering in around mid-table. But a lot of new players thrown together, it does take time. And you've probably seen that within their first four games that they've had a bit of a mixed bag of results. But not a club, I think, that you'd be worrying about going down. And you always think that when they get to the summer months, they tend to add a few new players into the mix that seems to push them up the table a bit as well. But one of those results, the Finn Harps one, where it's just gone against them. And I think you'll probably see within the games in the coming weeks that they'll be competitive and they'll come out on the right side of results in the next few games.
And your thoughts on the Showgrounds, watching the game, Paul? Overall, it looked like a draw was probably a fair result. Sligo obviously would be disappointed that they didn't hold on for the win, having got the lead. It was rather fortuitous, and it was an awful mistake from Alan Manus, but it has been pointed out Manus has been absolutely superb for Shamrock Rovers for so long now. He was he certainly due a break on that. But they got the equaliser. They stuck at it. Rory Gaffney's shot deflected in. But I think on balance, probably a draw was a fair result.
I thought it was a fair result. And I actually thought some of the play was pretty good in the game from both sides. Their general play was quite good without creating an abundance of chances. I think from a Sligo point of view, I think Bucco will be much happier with the squad that he's got this year and having the benefit of worked with some of the players now for quite a while. They look well drilled. They move the ball quite well. I thought Bulger and Morahan were really good in the middle of the pitch. Bulger in particular, I thought was excellent. I thought Gary Buckley at the back, somebody who I know Shep was mentioning a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's completely changed his game to go into centre half, and to do that's not easy. And I thought he looked really assured yesterday. The one question I'd have about Sligo is where the goal's going to come from. And I'm not sure they've got an out-and-out goal scorer within the squad. So you'd be looking towards your solid foundation in midfield and defence to try keep clean sheets and keep you in games. But I think for Sligo, they look as if they've made progress. And I thought they showed that in the game yesterday. And maybe with a bit more games under the belt, they would have seen that out yesterday. But there's definitely positive signs. Shamrock Rovers, I thought from their point of view, to be able to kind of grind it out and to get themselves back into the game, similar to the St. Pat's one, shows kind of the mindset within the group and just that never say die attitude. I always thought it was going to be a little slow start to the season, just given the fact that they've introduced a couple of new players. They've, of course, lost Jack Byrne, who has contributed so many goals, not just scoring, but also assisting. And actually, I think that was very evident when they played Sligo a couple of times last year, just how impressive he was and the impact that he has in that Shamrock Rovers squad and the confidence he gives to other players. So it was always going to be difficult. They've had a reshuffle of the pack. I think it's probably going to take another couple of weeks before you get their settled 11 and before you see them really take hold and start to find a bit of rhythm within their play, because I just feel at this moment in time they're probably lacking that and they don't look as scoring as many goals. But to be able to come from behind and to nick a point, he'll be happy with that, Stephen Bradley. And they've got a number of games now over the next 2 weeks, and I think after those four games you'll probably see a bit more of where Shamrock Rovers are at.
Raf, St. Pat's have made a very fine start, haven't they? 10 points, like Finn Harps, 10 points from 12. That 2-0 win over Derry on Friday, but a very good start for everybody involved there.
Absolutely, they'll be happy with that, you know. I actually tipped Pats and Bowes to challenge, obviously, Shamrock Rovers this season. I did kind of think Dundalk were in a bit of a transitional period, but Stephen O'Donnell and them will be very, very happy with what's going on. And again, they've kind of went about it quietly. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about it. So I think people will take notice now with the last couple of results and a big test for them coming up. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Like I said, there's some great firepower there. And I think they'll be very, very happy with the start.
Absolutely. It has been a fine start for St. Pat's. On the other hand, Paul, Derry, I mean, they've got that big game now against, every game is a big game, but they're facing Shamrock Rovers on Tuesday night in their back game, so to speak. But it's been a wretched start. I mean, obviously losing Danny Lapano after half an hour against St. Pat's was the worst possible outcome for Declan Devine, but anchored at the foot of the table, no points having played three games. It's a troubling start for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and James would know better, but as far as I remember, that was kind of the similar type of form they had at the tail end of last season, where they weren't picking up a huge number of points. And if you're talking about playing a game with 10 men for, what, two-thirds of the match, the last team you want to play on a Tuesday night then is Shamrock Rovers, because a team who dominate possession, you could have tired legs, tired minds. It's a really difficult fixture, particularly when you're on a run of bad form and you're looking for those first few points to get you off the mark. So it's a difficult time for Derry. Derry, I always feel that are a team that really benefit from having their fans in the stadium, and I used to always find it difficult going up there. And I think maybe without that presence and without that energy around the ground, maybe they're not as a difficult fixture as they have been in previous years. But they need to find a result from somewhere. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be beautiful football. They just need a scrap and they need to find a point from somewhere just to get them off the mark. Because the longer that goes on, the bigger the gap becomes between the teams ahead of you. And it becomes more difficult. So I don't know where they're going to find that result from, but they need to find it sharply.
Raf, it's a very tough division and Longford and Drogheda were both promoted from the end of last season from the first division, but that was a big win for Drogheda going to Longford and winning 4-0. Hugely disappointing for Longford to put it up to Sligo Rovers last week, but terrific win for Tim Clancy and for Drogheda, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tim will be delighted with that. I think he'll see obviously themselves being thereabouts with Longford. They're a team they'll want to pick up points against. So, you know, to go to Longford and win 4-0 can only but give the group confidence, you know, going forward. You know, I listened to Tim and I know Tim quite well. You know, he'll keep them grounded. I think that little bit of experience he's brought in has probably made the difference. You know, your Deegans, Denny Corcoran's, you know, players like this that know the league and have been about and know how to win games. So they'll be happy, but on the other hand, you know, Daryl will probably be disappointed, you know, maybe not to get something out of it, you know, to get beat 4-0, he won't be happy with that. But he's been doing a fantastic job, you know, and I suppose when you have, you know, the players he has and he know he can get results, he'll be looking to the next game, you know, hopefully they can put that at the back of their mind now as quickly as possible and focus on the next one.
Okay, well, that's the Premier Division. In the First Division, Cabinteely informed the league that they were unable to field a team for the scheduled game against Galway at Stradbroke because of a positive COVID test. That matter now being referred to the FAI's Disciplinary Control Unit. Elsewhere, Athlone Town went top. Great story. Athlone going top courtesy of a 1-0 win over Cork City at Turner's Cross. Treaty United and Cove Ramblers drew 1-1. Shelburne beat Wexford by a goal to nil and it ended all square scoreless between UCD and Bray Wanderers. Great start to the season, Paul, for Athlone Town.
Really, really strong start and, you know, an unbelievable result to go down to Cork and win. And, you know, they've added some really good players there, Adrian. And actually, James Doonan, who scored against Cork, was somebody who I would have been at Shamrock Rovers with and I would have seen firsthand. And he probably epitomises what they have there. They've young, hungry players who have maybe shown potential at some stage in their career, but just need a platform to go and perform now. And they seem to have found that in Athlone and they're really, you know, they've had a really positive start to the season. And it's good to see, I guess, bearing in mind the difficult couple of years they've had. And if they can reproduce results like what they have done down in Turner's Cross, well, then they'll be there or thereabouts. But a super start and a super result down in Cork.
Okay, and just to run through the fixtures in the Premier Division at the weekend on Friday, Waterford against Bowes, of course, all the matches available on Watch LOI, including Waterford against Bowes at 5:45 from the RSC on Friday, and then live on RT2 television, Derry City against Drogheda United, 7:45 kickoff, and then three games at 6 o'clock on Saturday, Dundalk against St Pat's, Shamrock Rovers against Longford Town, and Sligo Rovers against Finn Harps. And in the First Division on Friday, Bray Wanderers against Athlone Town, Cork City against Shelburne, Galway United against Treaty United, UCD against Cabinteely and Wexford against Cove Ramblers. And matches, of course, as well in the Women's National League on Saturday. It's Bohemians against Cork City, DLR Waves against Galway and P-Mount against Shells. That's a huge game at 6 o'clock, P-Mount against Shells on Saturday evening. And one game then on Sunday, that's Treaty United against Wexford Youths. Raf, that game at the Showgrounds on Saturday night, Sligo Rovers against Finn Harps. You'll be watching that one.
I'll be watching it. It's a win-win for me, to be honest, Adrian. You know, two clubs, obviously, I've been affiliated with over my career, so I'll be keeping a close eye on it. Obviously, Sligo Rovers are me club, you know. But like I said, I have so much time for Ollie and Hegsy and Everton, everybody associated with Finn Harps as well. So I'm tied between two things for the weekend. But look, like I said, a win-win for me. A draw would be a good result, I think, for both of them. I think it's a different test for Ollie now going to the Showgrounds because, Paul and yourself said, Sligo have really, really improved. You know, they've added great quality. The only thing, like you said, goals, I still think Romeo Parks is going to get to double figures this year. You know, just probably isn't up to speed yet with obviously missing one or two weeks in pre-season. Ryan DeVries, the same. So once they kind of get up to speed, I think your front players for Sligo will really run amok, you know, and cause any defence trouble.
Surely somebody will get you a half and half scarf, Ralph.
Hey, I'll have to get one, mate.
And I mentioned a little earlier, obviously, Derry City against Shamrock Rovers on Tuesday, and that game, of course, will also be on Watch LOI. Paul, just before we wrap things up on the football with yourself and Raf, just a word on the Champions League games coming up. Liverpool with it all to do on Wednesday night, 3-1 down at home, mind you, against Real Madrid. Your own club, Chelsea, they seem to be in a good position. And Manchester City with a tricky enough one heading to Dortmund with a 2-1 lead. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to keep it quiet, but I have a sneaky suspicion that Chelsea are going to go all the way, Adrian. I just have a feeling with
really?
Chelsea this year. Yeah, keeping clean sheets. I think, you know, they're as good as in the semi-final now. I think Real Madrid will have enough to get past Liverpool. And then the other side of the draw is really tasty. PSG and Bayern was unbelievable during the week, and I think we're in for a really cracking second leg there. I'd probably fancy Bayern, and then I'd fancy Man City to go through, but Chelsea are my outside bet. I can just see it happening.
Okay, all right, Paul, we'll leave it there. Thanks to Paul Corrie and also to Raf Kratara. Now to the women's national team, James. Two games over the last few days, 2-1-0 losses to Denmark and to Belgium. Belgium, of course, ranked 17th in the world. Ireland had chances in Brussels, but gave up a really soft goal early on. Here's what the Ireland boss, Vera Powell, had to say afterwards.
We're getting closer and closer and closer. If you see how the players have done that haven't played yet, how they're on the pitch, then you can see that everybody's so concentrated, and the training sessions, they really even learn by playing the opposition. They're really ready to do it. It's just a shame that you're not get rewarded, because I think that we again played better than the last time. Apart from the first 5-10 minutes. We started really well, but then we gave it away and we were running after them. But then we picked up again, and in the second half we could press them even better than Denmark. And we should have scored. We should have scored 3 goals. And they have not had one chance, I think. Yeah. So one chance, but we had 3 open chances.
Yeah.
So and we are ranked 32 and they are ranked 17 in the world. And they have won their group and they go to the Euros. So we're so close. So I say to the girl, it's just this, but that's a very difficult part to step up. So we're going to discuss everything, evaluate individual programs, having good contact with all the clubs, and see where we can get this little edge further. If we start to score, then we're there.
There you go. That's Vera Powell. James, those games over the last few days, as I mentioned, in Belgium, in Brussels, obviously on Sunday night, that narrow defeat, and also to Denmark at Tallaght Stadium. How beneficial do you think those two games were for Vera Powell and everybody involved?
I think they're very beneficial to give them a little bit of encouragement going forward. Like, when you look at it this week, you've got they should probably be playing in playoffs this week to get into the Euros. Unfortunately, they're not. So this was two really, really good teams to take on as well. As Vera mentioned there, especially with Belgium being ranked so high above them. It was a really, really good game. And I think yesterday proved how much you can learn from these games, or the game against Belgium proves how much you can learn from these games, because we started with an 11 where only, I think, 2, maybe 3 players are constant in the starting 11. And you've seen how well they did, especially in that first half. Yes, the goal is an unfortunate mistake. Goalkeeper really, 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 if they're going to come out for that ball, she needs to win it. And she needs to be in talking to her back four as well. Now, the striker, in fairness, we've seen her before the game being handed the golden boot. That's how good she is. She's a wonderful, wonderful striker, and found space and lost her marker to get in to nip that goal. But from then on, they built into it. They built through phases. They were very, very good. And it meant that Vera could see, against a much better opposition than what we're used to playing against, how team players who are not necessarily in the starting 11 were able to adapt to that type of game.
Yeah, and Lisa Fallon in commentary made the point that it was important that obviously you'd like to get a good result, but it was the bigger picture stuff to get players playing together and testing themselves against opposition of the calibre of Denmark and Belgium. And that was important. And she made six changes for Vera did for the game in Brussels on Sunday night. Had an opportunity to see lots of players in action. Some of the old guard doing particularly well. Heather Payne, once again, named player of the match. And I tell you what, James, that free kick from Ruisha Littlejohn, it was brilliantly struck. And what a save.
Unbelievable strike. And like, a lot of criticism comes in from the footballing public about goalkeepers winning the women's game, but I think the two goalkeepers yesterday showed exactly what the goalkeepers are capable of. That save was a top-class save. When I initially saw the free kick, I thought it took a little deflection and made the save even better, but when you see it from angles, it's just pinpoint. Littlejohn, like we've seen her play over the last couple of years. She missed out on a bit of the European qualification, but she's a quality footballer. You have the likes of her, and you have Katie McCabe in there as well. As far as dead ball specialists are concerned, they're really, really good. As you mentioned already, there was one move in the first half, or the second half. No, it wasn't the first half, where Ireland, from the back to the front, completely cut Belgium apart. It was only three or four passes, but they were one-touch passes. The movement of the ball from centre to right to left, and then in they got in for a chance. That's the type of football we want to see Ireland playing. And at times yesterday, they played it against the Belgium side, as we said, who far outranked them as far as standings are concerned. But it was great. It was of great encouragement to see how much they've come on. And some of the young players were just really, really good. They stood up to the game and they did their chances of getting into a women's national team squad a whole lot of good yesterday.
Yeah. And just a word, James, on Katie McCabe, her 50th international appearance for the Republic of Ireland. She's been some servant so far.
Yeah, she seems to have settled down at Arsenal now. If you remember her early days at Arsenal, she actually went out on loan, I think, to Glasgow City for a while before she came back to Arsenal and really, really nailed down that first team starting position at Arsenal. So it's great to see her. She has encouragement. You see her. She's real, real fight about her as well. But her ability to see space and ability to find a pass is something we need, especially if you're going to play her on a left wing like she was yesterday. So that ability to find space to her dead ball, her free kick, her corners are usually spot on. And that always gives you a bit of encouragement. One what I will say actually yesterday, Claire O'Riordan playing at right full. I don't think I've ever seen Claire playing there. Now maybe she has been playing there in Germany for the last little while. But when she was here, she was a striker, and she was a striker that was an absolute handful to people. So it was good to see her going in there right full and actually doing a really, really, really good job of it as well.
James, just before we wrap this element up, on a weekend where Rachel Blackmore broke through the ceiling, so to speak, she'd done so already, obviously, at Cheltenham and winning the Aintree Grand National, the women's rugby team having that big win in the Six Nations, in the women's Six Nations. People are looking at the football team and they're hoping and saying, you know, finally, can we make it through to the, you know, the finals of a major tournament? The World Cup qualifying draw takes place in a couple of weeks. Are you confident that Irish football, the women's football game in this country, is heading in the right direction and that an Irish team will very soon, hopefully under Vera Powell, qualify for a World Cup or a European Championships?
Yes, I am. I'm more hopeful now than I was a number of years ago. If you even look at, like, at the moment, as I mentioned, we've got the European playoffs going on, six teams going into that. Out of them six teams, two teams have never qualified for Euros, the Czech Republic and Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland are heading there, Graham, tomorrow on Tuesday evening. They play against Ukraine in the second leg. And you would expect them, having seen the first leg, that they should go through and qualify for their first ever Euros. So as a whole, women's sport on the island is coming on fantastically. As you said, Blackmore winning the Grand National, I half expected her to come on yesterday in Belgium and score a goal. That's how much she's been doing for women's sport over the last number of weeks and months and years even. So yes, I do believe we're moving in the right direction. There's been a couple of poor results, like one of the results away in the qualifiers where we should have won. Katie McCabe missed a penalty in that game. If that was a win, we would have been in the playoffs this week. But you can see it yesterday. You can see how much young blood came in yesterday and how well they played together despite not playing with each other before, only in training. Some of the movement yesterday was absolutely fantastic, like unbelievable. So yeah, I'm very, very confident that we'll go in and we may not qualify for a World Cup, But I do expect us to qualify for Euros quite quickly, and fingers crossed the next one that comes up.
Okay, positive signs all around. And finally, just a word, Oriel Park in a couple of weeks' time, big loud derby, of course. It's always great when Dundalk and Drogheda United, the near neighbours in the wee county, come face to face. But on that particular occasion, a very worthy cause is set to benefit. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, this is the derby for Sonia Howie, who was a former Dundalk player in her time, actually has a rare form of cancer, and she needs some life-changing cancer treatment. So as part of it, both clubs have come together. There's also a GoFundMe page on at the moment where they put up an 80,000 euro target, which was absolutely smashed quite quickly. So between the both clubs doing a derby for Sonia, where all funds will be in aid of Save Our Sonia campaign, and they're basically trying to break a record within the League of Ireland with a virtual attendance. It's 5 euro a ticket, and all funds go to that. As I said, if you look it on Twitter or social media, it's hashtag Save Our Sonia campaign. It's a great idea, I have to say. When fans aren't in the grounds, let's see how much of these proceeds can happen. All proceeds go to that very, very vital campaign.
Okay, well said, James. Well said indeed, and good luck to everybody involved in that fundraising effort. Okay, that's all we have time for on this particular edition of the RT Soccer Podcast. We're back next week. Until then, from myself and James, bye-bye.